Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am thrilled to invite you to Rachel Uncensored, my podcast where I get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. From personal stories to hot button issues, we cover it all. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so make sure you tune in on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny show. Thank you so much for joining us today. Joining me in the studio today is CJ Gibson.
What's up?
Fran Mirabella.
To my right, Destin Legarry. Hey,
that's
Guardians.
Right. And that is Sean Finnegan.
Hello.
Oh,
conservative.
Beta.
I appreciate not having the chomps. On today's show, we're actually going to be discussing the faction rally changes, thankfully. We're going to be talking about the stat changes from last week. We're going to kind of dive into them a little bit. And there's some strike reward changes coming up, and Bungie actually wants to know what we think about it, so we're going to tell them right now. Guys, let's start with the faction rally changes and why I think that is a positive. I think we have needed an overhaul of a lot of the systems in Destiny, including faction rallies. They're just not interesting. And I think that stems from the sandbox problems, which are being addressed starting next week.
Yeah.
We're about to fall.
March 27th.
Yeah. So real quick to recap, what they said was they're going on vacation. This current event will end on April 3rd. If you're missing any emblems, you will need to pledge to the faction you are missing before March 27th. So here's some of the stuff that they say about faction rallies.
Faction rallies are going on vacation. You made it sound like Bungie was. I was like, good timing, right before the big release.
I was like,
they're not going on vacation. That's not a good idea right now. Correction.
Anyway, so they say pledging to a faction should be a meaningful choice. Agree. And right now it's hollow, except for CJ, who loves Dead Orbit, and he's wrong. Rewards should not be time gated. I don't know if I agree with that one, unless they mean like seasons.
I think they're just talking about some of the challenges to get this stuff is only within like the week, right? And it's been very challenging to do that.
Yeah.
I think.
I think what they mean is they're going to just have factions available at all times.
Because that's what I'm getting at.
I think that's a better system.
Maybe, yeah. But that's
Love that.
To only have a few days that you can pick out of the week right now to get all this stuff. Well, and also it's just not, as they're addressing, there's just not enough stuff to do and reasons to get it.
Yeah.
You just need more time and more reasons.
I think they should be available all the time, and then they should do special featured events where they fight against each other.
And wouldn't it be cool if those special events somehow tied into the narrative of the game? Because that would be really cool.
It sure would.
That's a new idea.
When you pledge, Sean, they talk to you when you pledge.
Definitely. Next up, faction rallies should provide a unique gameplay experience and not simply be a reward layer on top of the existing game. Wow, like a narrative.
Yeah, tying it into the game somehow, yeah.
But even if not narrative, like a special mode or whatever, like Iron Banner was that before, you know, it was more than just some reward layer. I think that seemingly is where they're going with it. I don't know what that means, of course.
Yeah, and again, I wrote some notes here about some of the things Destiny 2 had misstep-wise, and it all sort of stems from the flattening of the sandbox of the weapons. And I think that kind of branched out to everything else. Mm-hmm. Some of the notes I put were where is my notes here? Yeah, flattening values hurt everything. Clan engrams, they dilute the loot pool. Xur is not that interesting because the loot pools aren't interesting.
Yeah.
What else do we have here? The weapon balance, dilutes, I mean, faction rallies, Iron Banner, and exotic. So because the weapons aren't interesting, everything else is effective.
Yeah, so that's the thing is like you have a reward-based game with a non-desirable loot table, which is like that is like a huge diametrical problem. Like and, those are two things that are opposed to each other. Right.
And there. Sean, on top of that, they put the only desirable aspect they put behind a paywall.
Yeah.
And I think if you break it down in that way, that's why people are mad. It's like, okay, so your weapons, I don't care. The only thing I want are cosmetics. I really like to make my character look cool. And I have to pay for that.
Like how many – I mean I hate to have – like I sound like a broken record, right? But like if all they did was copy Diablo 3's loot table, like this would be like the most successful game.
Do you want transmogs?
I want transmog. World of Warcraft.
I've been looking for my grind fix. I've been playing Final Fantasy 14. They have something called Glamour where you can make any piece of armor look like a different piece of armor. And I'm like, this is awesome. This is what Sean's been talking about. I get it now.
It's so
cool.
Right?
It looks so cool. Like,
we figured it out.
I must have put like 1,500 or 2,000 hours into Diablo 3 and didn't get all the weapons just for the one character I had or all the armor. Yeah. Like the loot table is so expansive. And on top of that, you can make any one piece of armor look like any other piece of armor. Mm-hmm. And then the way the armor – well, one, there's more pieces, right? There's six as opposed to – what do we have? Four on in Destiny. But like armor bonuses, like – proc rates, all of the stuff that you get by collecting all the armor benefits your character in specific ways so that like, hey, look, if I want to play this type of playstyle, I need this set of armor to maximize that playstyle. So there's something always to be aiming for and to be achieving and to be acquiring after 2,000 hours of playtime. And then that doesn't even factor in that there's five other classes and that it's procedurally generated. Like if Destiny could copy just like 10% of that philosophy, I think you'd have a lot more legs.
Diving into the visual aspect, Sean, it's insane to me that Destiny never figured out a way to implement this because it just seems so easy. The assets are already in the game, so you're not taking up additional RAM or whatever to render them because they already exist.
Sounds accurate. RAM or whatever.
well,
dev mode.
Look, I'm not a dev, but in your Polygon
fix
stuff.
Your RAM.
Put the lore in there and then get some specularity on it with a little bump mapping, and then we fix it.
That's so funny.
I'm definitely not a game dev, but the Fire assets are in the game.
Chat.
It doesn't seem like it would be crazy difficult. I would love to hear why this is difficult to implement this when every other major game has been able to do it well. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. It is a fair point.
One thing I really like, so I like that Bungie.
That's really good.
I like that Bungie's being more transparent about like updates and stuff like that. But like, did any of you guys see the 343 update about the latest sandbox change to Halo 5?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like it's very simple because it was a blog post and it has the format, like the way they message their changes is very clear such that we don't have these discussions about like what could they mean with what they say. It literally is formatted in three ways. It goes
– It's patch notes. Yeah,
it goes,
right?
The problem. The community felt that the BR was too strong at range and it was outshining the DMR, which is meant for the range weapon. Changes. This is what we changed. It's
very like, straightforward.
Yeah, and then it goes – and then the goal, what we're trying – what we hope these changes will do – and then it's like, oh, well, there you go. Yeah. Like the problem, what they changed, and then the goal.
So they did that once now with that really big last update.
Yeah.
But now we're back into the zone of where, like, yeah, there are two last bullet points, right? The faction rallies should grant additional insight into faction lore goals, and it should build upon player interest in lost sectors and armor ornament objectives.
Yeah, so
it's
that's,
like, how
you don't
are you
know
to
build upon player interest. Yeah, so they want to increase that, but it's like, why don't you just make lost sectors? Or why do they need to be tied to faction?
Or I'm just looking at like, okay, well, this is good, but how? Like, this is just one part of the messaging, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you.
We're interested in lost sectors because they're a farming.
I was going to say, I don't know if I'm interested in lost sectors. Yeah. I'm trying to get my gear and I have to go there.
Yeah. It's efficiency.
So real quick, when you mentioned the patch notes though, I feel like you're comparing apples to oranges because Halo is a PvP game. Like
it's not like Bungie invented Halo or anything, right?
No. right. But again, we're talking about a game that is exclusively PvP, not PvE.
That's not true.
Oh man, if only they could
Halo 5. Okay. Yeah, but Halo 5. 5 has a PvE mode, but it is not, I mean,
it's not connected is what you're saying.
No, it is. Like, it's a Warzone mode. Like, so I know what you're talking about, but there's less of like an incentive to do that to gain different weapons in it where you'd actually have them for PvP. The balance that you're talking about, PvE does not reflect PvP.
Yeah, but I don't think that that, you're right. You are right in saying that. I just don't think it's really related because it's not, I'm not talking about.
Well, it has to be. Because the issue that Bungie.
I'm talking about how they message their changes.
I get that, but you're talking about a specific set of weapons in the game that never change. Bungie implements and changes weapons all the time. It is impossible. This is the reason why we have pages and pages of notes. Imagine if they did that for every single weapon in the game.
Well, that would be great. That.
No, it'd be terrible. You'd never know. Like, there's,
you guys should do a Halo show.
They fixed that by flattening the values on all the weapons with a few perks that tweak things.
Which is true. And so that's the issue, right? Is that there's
not a fix, by the way.
Well, there's no longer random rolls, so a lot of the mods and the masterworks and all that stuff don't feel maybe as impactful. But yeah, you're talking about a sandbox changes with how many weapons are in Halo? 20?
I don't know exactly. There's more than that, though.
Maybe. But the PvP ones do not affect PvE.
How many different types of weapons are there in Destiny? Maybe 100?
Well, that's the thing. The archetype is different than the actual stat values, because every single weapon in Destiny is, for the most part, unique, even if it's reskinned or it looks a little bit
different. So you have ARs. Let's say there's 3 different types of fire rates and such for ARs, right?
Yep.
So you got 3 for each weapon type. I would guess maybe around 100, right?
Yeah.
So they have to tune for 100 weapons-ish.
But yeah, maybe just to brought back to the main point, I don't know if you've seen their update, CJ.
Yeah,
I've been the way it's done, do you agree it could be done better in that style? Whether it could be done exactly?
I mean, it's.
Or you just think it is apples to oranges?
Yeah, I think it's two different things. Only because right now you're talking about probably specifically more or less how it plays in PvP, right?
No, it's not specific to the gameplay. It's literally just in the style of messaging, which is like when 343 addresses a problem, they tell us what they hear the problem is. They present a solution, and then they present what they hope that solution achieves.
Okay.
It's a three-part thing that I don't think Bungie does. Because, one, when I read these problems, like Fran's thing is like, I don't think there is a player interest. So, one, with Lost Sectors, I don't think we're interested in Lost Sectors as players. We only do it because it's the most efficient way of farming.
Tokens.
So, one, with how they said this, we're not even sure they heard the real problem. And then, one, they don't present no solution at all and no specific changes. Now, you're right. With the weapon sandbox, the 25 pages of notes before, they did present some specific changes. I think that's a good step in the right direction.
Yeah.
I just want more of that consistency across all of these changes. Otherwise, because this just reads to me like fluff.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all agree. We've seen, like, there's a weekly update, right? That's maybe a difference as well. We're caught in the, it's vague until they really figure it out.
Yeah.
They don't want to overpromise. We keep seeing it. I'm not defending that. It definitely is confusing, but meaning I feel like part of that is the weekly update. Like, it's just that we try to cover it. But also, to be fair though, they said they want factions to be meaningful choices for, there's a reason they want rewards not be time gated. They provided a little bit, but you're right.
The first third of that strategy.
But so you have no faith in what that means because you're right. There's no detail. And I think that's fair.
Detail.
I'm in the same boat. I'm like, well, I'll wait till I see it, but glad you kind of hear us.
I like how Halo does it. I think this is them trying to be more transparent, saying, hey, we recognize this isn't a great experience. We're trying to improve upon it. Here's what we're going to delve into soon when we're ready to share the sort of adjustments that you're
And credit to them where it's due, right? Like, I generally just think it's good that they're being more upfront with their updates and being more engaged with hearing player feedback.
Exactly.
That said, there's always room for improvement. That's all.
Definitely. Exactly. Yeah, so there are a few things in there, right?
Yeah, so overall, just about the faction rally note, thank God.
Yeah, because
it could have been,
I still think it can be a really cool system that's the game. And like, I don't know, I come from, I hate to bring it up, World of Warcraft, right? When World of Warcraft came out, it was a big choice for players to decide whether they were going to be part of the Alliance or part of the Horde. And there was a literal pride on which side you were on, such that you hated the other side.
Yeah.
And they drove that wedge deeper because they designed it so that the Alliance and the Horde can't talk to each other. You speak different languages in the game.
Which game?
And so,
which game is this again?
If there's a way to kind of really make those rivalries between the factions like stand out for players and really make the pride element like part of it, I think that would be really cool.
I just have to say that it's awesome that they took three in-game NPCs with their own loot tables and gear and cosmetics and such that you can acquire shaders and such. And they've adjusted them dramatically, and they're just going to like take it back to the table and fix this system. And it's been 1,284 days since the vault's been fixed.
At least for the vault too. Why not?
So good job on Pax Rally changes. Moving on, there was one other item this week that was topical. Do we want to see strike rewards? This is from
the
community manager.
Yes,
and I do agree the answer is yes. We do.
You mean like Grasp of Malak, that type of strike reward in a chest?
So do we want to see them? Yes, they are doing that. They're going to add strike specific.
Dawning level cool gear that I just get from a strike.
The question is, do we want to see that ahead of time? The answer for me is yes, with a caveat. I don't want to see everything.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to see like two weapons.
A tease. Yeah.
But I also don't want them to overhype it like it's this new big thing. It's like, hey, here's some of the weapons.
Because guess what?
Because the community will go crazy. Yeah. Then the actual thing.
Also, don't hype it as a new thing because guess what? It already existed in Destiny 1.
As we keep talking about, what's more important than all of this is that it's not just vanity. As much as I love that, I don't need, like, honestly, the guns in the faction rallies, that's part of the problem. I'm like, whatever. I don't really, like, they look cool. Maybe that's why I get it. But I don't have any desire, and very few people are talking about you have to get it. So they need to fix that. And I was going to say for armor, it would be cool to have strike-specific things, maybe.
Yeah.
You get that gear, it helps you in Pyramidian strike or whatever, so.
But so it's weird because I keep thinking like, and I mean, I like random rolls. I know you guys have gone back and forth on it. To me, it's like, I feel like it's a double standard here. You're saying you want that special gun, but yet you guys were not a big fan of random rolls. So do you have
that? Well, we 100% are fans of random rolls.
When we got 100%. Hold on. When we heard that they were not doing random rolls, I was like, all right, sure. Let's try it out. It sucks. So they need to do something.
And I was like, for the record, I was like, listen, I understand why random rolls are desirable. And if you get rid of random rolls, you have to address what people want about random rolls in a different way, which is quadruple the size of the loot
table.
This
is a much longer discussion.
It is.
Absolutely, I would argue they have fixed some things by not having random rolls that I'm very happy about.
Yes.
And the frustration that I had, that doesn't mean I don't like some things from random rolls that I now miss. You're right.
Yeah.
But the armor random roll thing is also a separate discussion.
It's this problem with perception. The community in Destiny had random rolls, so they're able to latch onto that and say, that's how you fix it. You do random rolls. I think that's too easy.
Yeah.
And I think it's because it's something they've been showing that they sort of like. But I mean, we had issues with it when they were there, that Bungie needs to figure out a new way to evolve that, and flattening everything is not working. They need to adjust it. And hopefully these exotic changes are a peak.
Well, because
and mods, can make man.
Certain
mods is a great,
Mods 2.0 way later. But
but it's a different game, different system, like we keep talking about.
Exactly. But like, you got to recognize what random rolls presented that people liked, which was like, you could get a good gun and you felt great for getting a reward.
Yeah.
But then there was always, okay, but this isn't the perfect role.
Right,
there's still room for improvement.
There's
the chase. You're right. Destin's right. Flattening those, removing that like extra level that players could progress through, undid that chase, and that makes it boring.
But part of it is they give away everything. It's not like there is an amazing gun that like is hard to get. Not well, other than Legend of Acrius, which is just a hard quest. But there's just not a lot of that, which also creates that problem. You just got everything.
The root problem across the board is dilution. They dilute it with the clan engram, so you don't have to do anything to get the gear. That dilutes how cool you are when you're wearing your Ray gear. Oh, you got the Ray gear? Yeah, I got it out of a clan engram.
Like, let me ask you this. If it was like let's imagine it's as hard as the Galahorn was or Fatebringer to get Sins of the Past, the rocket from the raid, and any one of these, Uriel's Gift, Positive Outlook, or the number. Would you be like, oh, I really want to get those. I mean, I don't think it's a Destiny 1 level, but I think there's something to it. It's just that I have like five of each of those.
I want to hop into trials and be like, oh, snap, those guys have Uriel's Gift.
Yeah.
But we're in trouble. What are we going to do? How do we strategize to counter that?
And that's the part of the bigger problem, you know.
It's funny. Actually, just as you were mentioning that, so I just replied to this. That was a tweet that I said that I was doing right when
tweeting
you
on the show?
No, responding to it's Dylan, I think is his name, DMG04. He was asking that, and my response was opposite of yours. There's always so much speculation lately with everything that's released in advance. I would love to discover some things organically in Destiny and bring back some of that excitement that we kind of had in Destiny 1.
Black Spindle, right?
Well, exactly. Yes. And I feel like, I feel like the strike-specific loot, if it is going to be one of those things where – you know, it's tied into a bunch of different strikes. Yeah, I don't want to know about them in advance. I want to have no idea until we just figure them out.
Yeah, like, exactly. Wouldn't it be cool, though, if Bungie was, like, in their next update, they were like, strike-specific loot, we heard you. It's active.
Boom. And that's it. Exactly.
Like, the community has, like, a
and you're like,
secret
wait,
to chase
what?
After.
So yeah, there is there like now. Like,
that's, like, a week of excitement.
Yeah, the like, first, like, the who gets everyone the who reads first? That is like, yeah. Let's go play some strikes. Let's go find what this gear is. You know, like that sounds cool, man.
So I would rather that. And even I
they're active. Here's a tease. A headshot, and then he turns into like Smurf
confetti.
Or something.
Yeah. Or you open up something, and you just
I
like,
have to get
hides.
That gun.
It cuts. So I would like something like that. And I kind of thought that maybe faction rallies would be something like that as well, right? When they announced all the weapons, it's not bad, and ultimately there'll be other people doing that later on, but I miss figuring that stuff out on my own. And I think with bounties and Thorn and getting some of those, you know, when you did a lot of the quests and exotics from D1 and they turned into that, that was cool. You didn't know when it was going to happen. It would just randomly drop and you're like, okay. And it was a little bit, you know, of a weird thing. I know some people didn't like it because it was a random drop. You had to grind an infinite amount of bounties till it dropped. But there, at least you knew that. Yeah. So then there was that along with other things that you were chasing.
Yeah.
And guess what? Like, even the grinding of those bounties was different than other activities you did in the game.
Yeah.
Well, and Des, I'm getting called into a meeting, believe it or not.
I know.
I don't
know
if you
have an eye on the clock.
More to finish in the show, but I have to jet.
All right. So, yeah. So next up, we're actually going to go over some of the items from last week. Sean Finnegan, you were out. So we're going to have you back in the studio to discuss all that stuff. Ding.
Got to go to that meeting.
All right. So Fran's got to go, everybody. We'll be right back in just a second. All right, so Fran had to run to his meeting. Real quick, we're going to talk with Sean and CJ about all those weapon changes from last week and what they mean. We heard your feedback and wanted to dive into it a little bit better than we did. So basically, there's a bunch of stat changes coming, and I just was so disheartened last week after a bad experience online of like just getting the game crashing five times. It's like, I'm done. I'm playing something else until I fix this. I'm not coming back for like a month. And so people were like, hey, I thought you were streaming Destiny. I'm like, no, I just can't do it. I need a break.
Interesting. Was that after Iron Banner?
No, I did some Iron Banner, and I'm just like, I have all the things. I just don't want to grind this. And I was just in one of those times, and it happens from time to time with video games, where I'm like, I need to take a break. And Bungie actually says, you should.
Yeah.
You know? So let's talk about some of these changes. Basically, they aren't really changing the time of the kill, but they're changing basically everything else, which should affect how the game feels.
Mm-hmm.
For example, all supers are going to be faster. That's going to increase excitement throughout the game experience of a PvP match. All mods are 2 times faster for grenades, melee, and class items. You're going to respawn faster, and you're going to get more power ammo faster, as well as players are going to drop power ammo. So you're going to be using your snipers, fusions, shotguns, etc. more often, which is excellent.
Yep,
that is an excellent change in my opinion. Players move faster in and out of supers. Everybody's a normalized speed, which I think is fair.
Mm-hmm.
But some of these supers, Arc Strider is getting a faster attack, faster dodge animations, and more range. Shoulder Charge is getting reverted, thankfully. Dawn Blade's getting one more sword. It's going to be longer lasting, everlasting fire super. No in-air penalties for Swift Strike. Cooldown on dash is reduced and more melee and grenade energy. What that means is that Dawn Blade is usable. So people are going to be checking it out a little bit more. Aim assist on smoke for the hunter is no longer broken. Dodging breaks aim assist during dodge. More invis time and more smoke time. I believe they added a second.
That's good.
That is really good.
Yeah, so that's a PvP sort of console versus PC change that needed to happen.
So those were the character specific updates. Let me make sure I didn't miss anything. Yeah, so how do you guys feel about that? So that's basically involving your guardian and how that is going to change the meta. Sean, do you think it's going to make it a lot more interesting in every match?
I mean, time will tell, right? A lot more interesting. I'm hesitant to commit to something like that, right? Like, you got to see how it plays. But I think on individual levels, these changes are good, right?
Yeah.
Like, I can see how 25% faster supers, 2x speed recharge for class abilities, grenades, and all that stuff would help the game be faster, which is what we wanted, right?
Yeah.
Like, The whole no reduced TTK thing is a little worrisome, because one of the things I personally liked about the first Destiny was that if you were skilled and if you were tactical enough, you could lone wolf it and make big plays.
Yeah.
Without the reduced time to kill, I'm not so convinced that that will be the case. But I might be wrong, right? Like, with more supers, with more grenade and abilities, you might actually be more deadly than I'm giving them credit for.
Yeah.
So there's potential there. I'm glad for that.
Definitely. What about you, CJ? I mean, we know the Hunter things, like, they're sort of in a weird state.
Yeah.
The Hunter's Night Stalker class is going to be tweaked fairly significantly. I'm not too concerned about that. I think it's going to sort of normalize in a good way how the supers work. Everyone's going to be way more powerful. Night Stalker was already pretty powerful. Hopefully those tethers actually kill you when you hit.
Yeah. I'm trying to see which one it is. The dodge one. Basically, that's a reaction to Gemini Jesters. Like, that is something that people spammed in all levels of play. And so if you're a controller user, basically it was almost impossible to hit them, because once they went invisible, there's no aim assist and it's impossible to lock on. So
yeah, that was one of my things, was like, it seemed like one of the things as a Titan that I got really bugged about was that I would get the jump on someone.
Yeah.
And whether or not I was good or not, or missed shots or didn't, they could get away.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, I'm a hunter, so it kills me every time a hunter gets a nerf, because I'm like, all right, I already just have the roll.
I'm not, it's
fair. Like, I think it's fair.
Yeah, like, that's the thing, is like, I'm not advocating for one class or another, but like, when there's clearly some sort of ability that like is kind of a get out of jail free card.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying in every situation, if players get the jump on you, that you shouldn't be able to get away.
Yeah.
But like, if they get the jump on you and they're good, like, maybe most of the time, 60% of the time, they shouldn't be able to.
In Destiny 1, Night Stalker was one of the most fun classes to
watch. It was
so
good.
Because like, just, I remember that one clip of, I don't remember who it was, but like, probably Lumi, like, dodging backwards and taking out a whole team in trials in that moment of, oh my God.
Yeah.
Hopefully, with the no more radar and such, we're going to start seeing plays like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I hope, right? Like, it still seems like, without adjusting the TTK, the idea that I could kill three guardians, like, that aren't just sitting there or don't know I'm there, like, still seems like it's a tall order, right?
I mean, dude, if you got that heavy shotgun ammo, I think you can do it.
Oh, sure, sure.
Yeah. And like, now that we're going to have
rocket or with shotgun, yeah, for sure. But, you know, like, the idea that I could dodge roll back and out shoot with like an auto rifle or a scout or a hand cannon three people firing at me, like, I don't know, it seems unrealistic.
It's your whole thing though about skill versus just giving everybody good weapons, you know.
Like, yeah,
so,
exactly.
So your skill is what's going to shine.
I think that's the challenge though, when you're talking about balancing. We did a little chat off camera. It's difficult. I mean, I think Bungie has a really hard time with the amount of weapons that there are in a game to do that, right?
So real quick, if we're moving on to weapons, do you want to run down the adjustments that have been made, CJ?
Is that here?
I'll just read it for you.
Yeah, you read it real
quick. So weapon buffs include Pulse Scout hand cannons, which are going to be better on console. They're getting a much needed help there. Sidearms, SMG, linear fusion, shotgun, snipers, grenades, and assault rifles. Not included, rockets and regular fusion.
There we go. Those things probably need a little bit of a ammo nerf.
Yeah. And, ammo nerf? You only get one rocket anyway.
Exactly. And there's still going to be too many rockets.
You need half rocket?
That's right.
The weapon perks that are getting tweaked, many in PvE included high impact reserves increased, kill clip increase, rampage increase in PvE, damage increased duration, dragonfly increased damage, increased radius, stronger visual effects. So that is really intriguing to me. I love Dragonfly in Destiny 1.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to see what they do with it in the sequel.
Yeah.
Grave Robber reloads
Firefly
0.5.
In Destiny 1.
Exactly. Grave Robber reloads 0.5 magazine instead of 0.3. There's a time payload. Splits damage. Oh, time payload splits damage. 55 explosive, 45 direct instead of previous split, which was more direct damage explosive rounds.
Mm-hmm.
Decreased PvE explosive round damage. This decrease has been compensated for with an increase in PvE damage for the base weapons. Oh, sorry. I may have said PvE. So decreased PvE explosive round damage is what we're there. Your weapons with explosive rounds do not do less damage after 1.1.4.
So this is all cool. I'm glad they're addressing things. But truthfully, like, I don't know, PvE always felt pretty good to me, right?
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. PvE still feels really good to me as well. I mean, there's a lot of things that I think that people are still wishing. They talk about, oh, you know, looking back, they feel like Destiny 2 took a hit on account of PvP.
Yeah.
Balance for PvP, that's the reason why we don't have the secondary sniper and all that stuff in the slot. Now, it's weird. I saw John Wisniewski tweet out, the bridge collapsing with Sunshot. And he said, oh, I chained, killed a bunch of people. So it was great. If this stuff starts happening with exotics and PvP, I think that's really cool. Like, exotics need a little PvP buff for sure.
And I think we're going to see it start.
Armor 2, man. Like, I just,
that as well.
Like, so I got so used to playing Destiny 1 with Twilight Garrison. Like, the air dodge for Titan.
Which is basically Icarus Dash now for the Warlocks.
Yeah, they just gave it to a different class. Like, and Titans already had, like a combat mobility issue. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't have, like, a shade step. We don't have, like, an invis. Like,
you got your shoulder charge, which they nerfed, and now they're reverting.
Which is fine, right? Mm-hmm. But, like, that's like an out of combat movement ability, right? Like, when you're in a gunfight, there's nothing a Titan can do to, like, oh, I'm losing, like, whoop, type get away,
your
right?
Your shield?
What, Warlocks
have
it?
Class ability shield?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, have you ever tried casting that in the middle of a gunfight?
1-1000, 2, wow. I'm dead.
It's basically like, okay. Start the fight by casting it or else
like
you're dead.
Like, 2 seconds.
I suppose. I mean, I will say this.
It takes a long time.
But it does take a long time, but
that's not a, like, that's a good tactical maneuver. It's not a get out of jail free card.
No, it's not, but there is some moments where if you play the shield right, especially if somebody's in, like, gap range with you.
Absolutely.
I mean, would you rather have the shade step? Because right now, I don't know how many times if I use shade step in the gun battle, I'm getting killed mid shade step. So there's no invincibility frames on it
anymore. Right? Destiny 1, there were invincibility
frames. Yeah, there
were
a little bit of frames, yeah.
To answer for myself, and then Sean should answer also because you asked him. But I think totally the Titan needs more mobility, like side
in combat, for sure.
Yeah.
Like Twilight Garrison. Like, that's the thing is, like, okay, so maybe the class doesn't need it natively, right? Like, let other classes have these cool abilities that make them special, for sure. But I should be able to, as a player, make a choice where – This chess piece offers me ability that is key to my play style. And if I want to make the choice to, like, use that armor piece in that slot.
You just want Twilight Garrison.
I have an idea.
I should be able to make that.
You lose your shield, but you get that. Would that be a trade-off worthy for you?
I mean, you'd have to play test and stuff, but I also don't like the idea of an exotic item making you make a compromise like that. Like, an exotic item should add something really cool because it's an exotic item, you know?
Well, I don't know.
I like the idea of having a forced choice like that.
Yeah, I do too. I used Bones of Ao for the Hunter every single time in PvP. I would switch it up the odd time for, like, you know, faster res, which I think was the Alpha Loopy initially. Yeah. But once they decreased the res speed in the second version, I think it's somewhere around Taken King, I started running Bones almost all the time. And that was amazing. Like, and that was primarily what I did.
You got to remember, there are cool-looking exotics that lock you into a specific subclass because they perk that subclass.
Right.
So that's sort of a positive-negative thing, give and take.
Right, but I mean, like, I think, like, it's – for me specifically, Twilight Garrison was that thing because it offered such a key ability.
Yeah,
right.
Like, in PvP. Like, an air dodge was so key for a Titan before that it becomes hard to play it without it.
I think the only thing that the Titan has right now that really does that is War Rig.
Yeah.
Because you got that AR reload.
Yeah, I mean, but even your mobility, like, when you shield bash, and you're probably playing mostly Striker then versus Sentinel.
Well, that's the other thing is, like, they also nerfed shield bash slash shoulder charge because now it's – At its best in combat, it's situational.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't do all that much damage.
Yeah.
Before, you could use it offensively, right? Like, you know someone's hiding around a corner and they have still full shields. You can run, get a charge, dive into the hole, and, like, turn right and just, boom, shoulder charge. I mean, that would be really cool.
So let's wrap it up with this question.
Sure.
What do you guys think about these notes overall? Do you think these are going to be positive? We're going to try them out next week and report back.
Yeah, I think they're going to be really positive. Like, I am super excited to play. Everybody, we were talking last week and we were saying we were a little bit, you know, reserved. You were reserved in your excitement. But, but I think it's going to be really good. Now, I think, it remains to be seen about, like, Heavy and Rockets, but getting your super faster, and even the amount of super that you get when you kill somebody, I think that's advanced as well. So the thing you're talking about with Lumi was at Guardian Con. It was they were playing Control. He was locking down it was Earth map again. I can't remember the name of the map, but he was basically locking down a capture point. And I think he got his super in under like a minute and a half because he was able to kill people, use his tether, kill those people, generate more super every time he killed somebody. So right now, a combination of just being able to gain super from even Masterworks, if you kill multiple people, you're dropping orbs for yourself. The way you kill people and you gain more super energy when you get a kill, the super energy in general just generating on its own is faster. That's a win, because all these things, like, you barely get a chance to use your super once in a match right now in PvP.
And so, all of you are getting your supers at the same time, roughly.
In the last 2 minutes of the match. So if that's able to happen because you're playing better, that's an incentive for people to play PvP. So I'm excited about that.
Incentive to be more tactical.
It is.
To make using your supers a tactical
choice.
Sean? Yeah. I mean, like I said at the beginning, I think on an individual level, these are good changes.
Yeah.
It remains to be seen whether or not collectively they make the game interesting and playable from a PvP perspective. I want to give it the benefit of the doubt, because honestly, like, I think it's so funny that I'm still playing Halo 5 like every day in PvP.
Yeah.
Because it just feels that good. Mm-hmm. But I want to play Destiny 2 more, and I hope that it's on good footing going forward, and it looks like this is going to be the way to do it.
Yeah. Go ahead.
For me, I'm fairly pessimistic, but like as I said in the last show, I'm just like, it's a bunch of numbers. Like,
yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah, you have to feel it.
Yeah, you got
to
jump in and play, right?
So like, I'm going to go check it out. I'm going to try out the strike-specific loot and all that stuff, but I don't think that's going to keep me invested. I need a big content drop for me to try out these new systems. And I think I hope the May expansion is okay, at least like a seven.
I mean, in an ideal world, this sandbox change plays really, really well,
yes,
and it fixes PvP. And then on top of that,
they get people back in with the May update.
Yeah, the May update is awesome, mm-hmm, and all the stuff that we want it to be. And then what do you know? Like, I think if you nail those two things, like,
we'll get your people back.
Fall. Yeah.
And I'd be remiss if we didn't actually talk about Fortnite really quick, which is, you know, it just had an explosive day here a few days ago with Ninja streaming.
That's CJ's thing. CJ's thing will be Fortnite.
I'm just saying, it's weird that, you know, when you look at what is that game is offering, there's no incentive to play besides the match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're going for the win. There's no loot. There's no anything. It's the match. Then it's the over.
Gameplay. Yeah.
Like, that's
just
it.
The gameplay.
It's just the gameplay.
It is all about Bungie's whole philosophy is about a fantastic gameplay loop. Sticky grenades.
Yeah. Right?
Fantastic gameplay loop. The BR charge combo.
Yeah.
Fantastic gameplay loop.
So
Destiny does not have that gameplay loop, really. Right?
So that's the thing. If this makes PvP a fast, enjoyable type of game. I played PvP all the time in Destiny 1 with no loot. There was like, loot was not an issue.
Yeah, I had all the weapons.
That's
and
right.
Armor
I had my Plan C. I had my Ice Luna. I played PvP every day because it was fun. If this does that, we're in a good spot, and I hope it does. That's what I'm optimistic for.
Totally agree, guys. That's all we have time for this week. We wanted to go over the patch notes again. Thank you, everybody, for joining us on the show. Guys, you ready?
Already.
Oh, where's Fran? All right.
We're all ready. All right. Until next time, Guardians out.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.